I think it's safe to say that all of us want to be known and want to be loved. Not just known a little, but known completely, entirely, and loved for who we truly are. Oftentimes we're afraid of sharing who we truly are with others because we're afraid that if they see our brokenness, our weakness, that they might not accept us. But there's that desire that remains. That desire to be known and to be loved. And when we hear stories about people, love stories, how they're revealing themselves to each other, how they're loving each other, a lot of times we enjoy those because then it gives us hope that we too can experience being known and being loved as well. And so, a lot of times we like to hear good love stories to give us that hope. When we think about the faith in Scripture and salvation history, we can think about it as a love story. The story of the love of God for all of His human beings. The story of the love of God for all of us. If we look at sacred Scripture and we go to the very beginning, we have in Genesis creation. God created. Why did He create? He created out of love. He wanted to share Himself with that which He creates. But we also see at the very beginning of Genesis, there's a wedding. There's a marriage, that of Adam and Eve. And if we look at the end of sacred Scripture in Revelations, again we see a wedding. The wedding of Christ and His bride, the church. So at the beginning and the end, we have this love story. But even everything in between, it's about God and His relationship with humanity. And the theme of marriage can be seen multiple times in different books and different parts of sacred Scripture. In fact, we hear about that in our first reading. We hear about how God is going to bless His people. We heard, as a young man marries a virgin, so your builder will marry you. God wanting to be in relationship, wanting to marry his creatures, His human beings, those that He loves so much. And so that may make us wonder, though, what exactly is marriage? How does that work? I'm blessed to be a priest and to be able to help young couples who are interested in marriage, in their marriage prep process, helping them to understand and recognize what marriage is and how to live out marriage well. What are some of the obstacles and challenges that can be faced so as to, knowing them in advance, be able to avoid them or overcome them in the marriage itself after their wedding? So one of the things that I do early on in marriage prep is I ask them, what is marriage? I want them to tell me what it means to them, how it's different. And most of them do a pretty good job recognizing that it's an exclusive relationship between a man and a woman, that it's intended to be lifelong, and that it's open to having a family. And that's a pretty good description. But there's even more to it than that. There's also an aspect of total gift of self. So we want to be known and we want to be loved. And in marriage, a husband and wife can know and love each other in a profound and deep way that's not possible in other relationships. They can give themselves to each other in a way that's not appropriate in other relationships. That total self-gift, holding nothing back, allowing themselves to be known and to be loved for who they truly are. But we also know that we're broken people, that even though that's the beauty and ideal of marriage, sometimes there's challenges, there's difficulties, it's not always easy. But still, those aspects of marriage remain, that it's intended to be a total self-gift, that there's a faithful and exclusiveness to it, that it's open to new life, and that it's freely given. That's a point that they usually miss because they kind of just take that for granted, that they're freely choosing to do this, that no one's forcing it. It's So usually I try to prompt them with more questions until they include that part. But knowing what marriage is, if we look at God and his relationship with humanity, we can apply those same things. They're supposed to be in exclusivity. If we're not to have other gods. If we look at the first commandment, it says, I am the Lord your God, you shall have no other God before me. So part of our relationship with God is keeping him first, above all else. Nothing else is to be more important. If we have something else, then we're not giving ourselves totally to God as we ought, and it's not really being exclusive. We can see that in sacred scripture, that God has this idea for his relationship with humanity in that first reading that we mentioned, but also throughout sacred scripture, we see that God has these covenants with humanity. He makes an agreement with them, a binding agreement. We see it with Noah, we see it with Abraham, with Moses, with David. And a covenant is different than a simple contract. A covenant is lifelong. It's unbreakable, even when there's unfaithfulness. If we look at that history of humanity, God makes this agreement with them, and we as human beings, we're like, yes, you'll be our God. We'll do that. And then what do we see in sacred scripture? Human beings start chasing after other things, other gods. They make other things more important. They're not remaining faithful to that covenant, to that relationship that they've declared that they would have with God. But God doesn't give up on us. Even though we are unfaithful through sin, God remains faithful and calls us back to himself, calls us to be reconciled, calls us to be healed of our brokenness, of going astray. The idea, one of the ideas of marriage is being that total self-gift. And as part of that total self-gift, we see Jesus Christ giving us an example in the new covenant, the one that he brings about, that relationship. Jesus holds nothing back. He gives up everything. He goes through his passion, death, and resurrection. He dies on the cross. He gives up his very life. Everything handed over for the sake of the beloved, his bride, the church. Total self-gift. In marriage, there's the exchange at the wedding vows. But then those wedding vows are also renewed every time husband and wife come together in the marital act. It's not supposed to be just a union of bodies, but a union of persons. Total gift there. Total sharing of life. And so that's why the marital act is reserved for marriage. Certain actions have meaning in themselves. If we think about a kiss, for example, parents kiss their children, children kiss their parents. Those who are romantically in love kiss each other. What does it mean? It's a sign of affection. It's a sign of love. And yet it can be misused. We see that in the garden. Judas, Jesus' betrayer, comes to Jesus and gives him a kiss. And Jesus says, would you betray me with a kiss? He takes that action that naturally means love and affection in and of itself, and he twists it, distorts it, and makes it a lie. He uses it to identify who Jesus is so that Jesus can be taken away by the soldiers, so that he can be sent to the cross. So he was lying with his body. And so too with the marital act. If it is outside the context of marriage, it's a lie with the body because it's saying total self-gift. But it's not unless it's in the context of marriage. When we talk about marriage, and we think about Christ and his bride, the church, marriage was there in the beginning. God created it, Adam and Eve. But then when he becomes man, he elevates it. He makes it more than what it was. And we hear about that in our gospel passage today in Cana. Jesus is present there. But not only his presence blesses this marriage, but also this concept of transformation, of making it new and different, of making it more suitable for the celebration. There's water, but they're out of wine. Wine being a suitable drink for the celebration of marriage. They ran out, but they have water. water which is good in itself, Jesus transforms it into wine so that it's more suitable for the occasion. And so he takes marriage and he transforms it, not just from this natural state, but he makes it into a sacrament. He makes it into a covenant. He makes it into something unbreakable. He makes it into this efficacious sign of his grace. Efficacious meaning it does what it signifies. What does it signify? St. Paul tells us it signifies Christ and his bride, the church, God in union with humanity. And so marriage is made into this sacrament in which God is sharing his divine life, in which grace is being given, in which it represents Christ and his bride, the church. So when husband and wife love each other well, it does what it signifies. It makes Jesus and the church get closer together. That's an awesome thing. When I see couples that are living their marriage well, it helps me to give a gift of myself better to the church. In a way, you could say that I, being configured to Christ by the sacrament of holy orders, would share in the bride of Christ, which is the church. So I would be giving myself to the church. And when I see a husband and a father giving himself to his wife and his children, and he's doing it well, he's doing it lovingly, he's imitating Christ and dying to himself, giving up his wants for their needs, that inspires me to be a better priest. It inspires me to be more self-sacrificial. And I can do likewise for other couples. The sacrament of marriage can help bring about a closer union between Christ and his bride, the church, because it is a sacrament and it does what it signifies. And so Jesus has this new covenant. We have water changed into wine, a sign of the old covenant becoming into this new covenant, this new agreement with God, with Jesus Christ, one that he solidifies and makes come to fruition with the total gift of himself on the cross. A covenant that's renewed every time we come to Mass, every time we receive Christ in the Eucharist. It's the same sacrifice made present to us through sacramental signs, where Christ is totally present, giving himself to his bride, the church, all of us. We receive Jesus, total self-gift. And we who are members of the church, the bride of Christ, during the celebration of the Mass, are to offer ourselves back to Christ, total self-gift. And so we have this concept of marriage throughout sacred scripture, throughout our celebration. We all want to be known and to be loved. And in the context of marriage between a husband and wife, it's possible to have a knowledge and a love that's beyond any other relationship with other human beings. But as great and as awesome as that can be, it still won't be perfect because we can't read each other's hearts. There's a limitation of how well we communicate with each other. There's a limitation of how much can be truly known. But it points to the perfect love. It points to the perfect knowledge. It points to union with God forever in heaven, where Christ and his bride, the church, are fully and completely together. Yes, in union here on earth, in sacramental signs, through prayer and other ways, but fully and completely in heaven, where we'll see God as he is, see him face to face. And so as good as marriage is, it points to something even better, where we can be totally and completely known, where God, who knows everything and knows the depths of our hearts, he knows the good, he knows the broken, he knows our weaknesses, and loves us anyway, loves us totally and completely. It's a beautiful mystery. It's a beautiful love story. So let us ponder this mystery, this love story of God, his bride, the church, Jesus Christ and the church, as we prepare to be united with our Lord in the most holy Eucharist. Marriage can be very beautiful. The total gift of self to the other, knowing each other, loving each other, But for many people, that's not their experience. They experience the brokenness of each other. And so marriage can be hard and difficult for people. There can be struggles in the midst of marriage, how to relate to each other, how to forgive each other, how to overcome certain obstacles and tensions in that relationship. And so if you or someone you know are having struggles in your marriage, I encourage you to seek help, to seek assistance, to contact a priest or a deacon here at ICD, that we may help you get through those struggles, those difficulties, those challenges that you may face in your marriage, or the marriage of someone you know and love. We're here to help. It's also possible for some who are present here, or someone you know, to have suffered the unfortunate reality of separation or divorce. Again, you can come talk to a priest or a deacon, but we also have a ministry for those who are in that situation, in that experience of separation and divorce, to help you to know that you are still loved by God and His church, to help you to understand the situation, what it means, and how you can find healing and hope. And so God wants marriage to be the beautiful thing that it can be, so that the sacrament of marriage can bring about that greater union of Christ and His bride, the church, and it can help us to understand God's love for all of us, a perfect love, one with perfect knowledge, a knowledge and love for us that can fulfill us, starting here on earth, and hopefully forever with God in heaven.